All right, so welcome back for what, your seventh time? Seventh time, and thank you for the shout out in your latest single. Auckland's feeling that.
Take that.
No, I guess the big news is that you're putting out a new album, Lasers. Now, yeah. I've got conflicting dates. Is it February or is it March?
March 8th.
Right. Now, I was looking online at your new single, Words I Never Said, mm-hmm. and it strikes me as somewhat angrier than perhaps some of your early work. Mm-hmm. Is that an easy way to encapsulate the album?
No, actually, I think that would be the exception to the album, but it definitely houses the album. You know, it definitely takes, you know, the shine of the album away from it. You know, that right, there's another record on the album, which isn't as angry, but mm-hmm. is just as intelligent in the way it's put out. You know, I think it's almost like the smarter big brother of Words I Never Said. So it's not as brutal.
Right.
It's way more civilized, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, that was, for me, that was Words, and I remember my A&R even had to remind me when he was like, because we were having actual trouble with that record, mm-hmm. with getting it cleared or whatever, and I was just gonna be like, well, whatever, we'll just do another one. And he was saying, but he's like, remember what you said, this was the record that you felt like Lasers didn't have a voice. Mm-hmm. You felt like it had a body and it had a head and it had a brain, but it didn't have a voice. And he was like, I was like, yeah, you're right, so let's just go back to the grindstone and get it cleared out or whatever. It's probably my number three favorite record on the album.
Number three, what if numbers ones and two?
Number one is All Black Everything. Number two is a record called Beautiful Lasers, which we were actually performing an acoustic version of Beautiful Lasers on tour for like the past like 6 or 7 months.
Okay, sure.
This is the actual finished full body record.
And are you planning on performing some of the forthcoming tracks tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We made the decision because we're so close to the release date, you know, mm-hmm. and we feel like the music's going to get out there anyway. I think actually Words I Never Said comes out at the beginning of February or something like that.
Yeah.
And I actually think All Black Everything is going to come out too at the end of February. Mm-hmm. So we just feel like, you know, it's safe, it's comfortable. So half the set is like Lasers records.
Sure. Yeah. So you're not worried about people, yeah. you know,
nah.
posting it online.
Actually, that would be dope. You know,
you're
for people to get it, because that's how we did Superstar. That's how we kind of did. You know, we always debuted our newer records, you know, at shows, at festivals. We debuted mm-hmm. Superstar Lollapalooza, mm-hmm. and kind of took on a life of its own. So, you know, we're going to debut like, I think at least 4 or 5, you know, brand new records for Big Day Out. So.
Talking of Lollapalooza, you also have a side rock project, Japanese Cartoons. Are you still doing that?
Yes! yeah, man. We're hoping to have, you know, the first album was, for us, it was a success.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty, we were cool. We were just happy that anybody.
Sure,
liked
it wasn't about sales and moving units.
We were just cool. We're happy. You know, so we're hoping to have another record out in the summer, by the end of the summer. And, you know, this one we're going to take a little bit more seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, the one before, we maybe were 65% serious with it. You know, but this one we're going to do at least 86-87% seriousness with it.
Do you use the two bands to express different avenues of your personality?
Yeah.
You know, Lupe Fiasco and Japanese Cartoons.
Yeah.
Because Lupe has definitely got a political consciousness throughout all your work, whereas Japanese Cartoons perhaps not, you know, explores more personal relationships, or?
I would say, like, Japanese Cartoon has a political edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I would even go as close to say that it's just a rock Lupe Fiasco, mm-hmm. you know, with a British accent on something. But, It musically it gives me more freedom, mm-hmm. to do what I want.
Sure.
Know? So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a punk album.
Mm-hmm.
The next album, you know, it might be a
anything you like.
It might be an electronica album with some rocky vocals on it.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It all depends on what musically I'm feeling at the moment, you know, and what comes across to make the best sound, mm-hmm. For me. You know, and the content is just content. Some of the songs don't even make any sense. You know, it's just kind of like I'm just going here and just rah 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 through it.
Sure.
And maybe throwing a nice witty line or social impactful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the records are full on social content. You know, social commentary.
Sure.
You know.
do you feel like, taking that in mind, what you just said, do you feel constrained by hip hop as a medium for expressing things? Do you find if you make something that sonically sounds quite a lot different to, you know, boom bap, people don't know how to take it? Or do you think that, you know, hip hop has changed a lot, which I think it has, you know, especially in the last 10 years. Do you know, but do you still feel a little constrained by, oh, that's not a hip hop track, or that shouldn't be on a Lupe record?
Yeah, yeah, I do. You know, I try and set the precedent sometimes, and you know, throughout all my albums, like my first album, I work with Mike Shinoda, and try to get, you know, second album, I work with Uncle. And it was just, and in between time, I'll remake a Tom York record, or remake a Radiohead record, or rap to a Pink Floyd record or something like that, just to kind of establish that, you know, I want to be, you know, I have other likings and I have other inspirations and other music that I would like to perform, you know. But in hip hop, it's still such a, you know, it's such a elitist kind of thing, you know. When you start going into that, you start to get people who's like, man, you should just keep doing hip, because they're hip hop fans.
Sure.
You know, they're not rock fans, they're not emo fans, they're not electronica fans, they're hip hop fans, and they want to hear hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really just kind of a walking that fine line. I try and get away with as much as I can, but I still have to, you know, do some hip hop. But with Japanese cartoon, I can just get away with whatever I want.
It's a bit self indulgent. Sure. Talking about that, you know, you move in the hip hop community, but when you put out tracks like Dumb It Down or songs that criticize, you know, hip hop values, or what are at least perceived to be hip hop values, do you rub up against people? Do you get a bit of heat for that sort of criticism or for that sort of commentary?
No, I get kudos, you know.
Oh, really?
Jay-Z in his new book, Decoded, actually, you know, cited Dumb It Down. He actually cited Dumb It Down in the book specifically for that, inward critique of hip-hop. And I get a lot of kudos from the intelligentsia and the academia, you know, world for that, you know. Records like Dumb It Down and similar records where I kind of do that inward critique of hip-hop as a reflection of society, so it's really a critique of society. So I get love from it, and I think the people who actually do that stuff, they don't listen to me anyway. People who are the hooks of Dumb It Down, you know what I'm saying, they don't listen to Lupe Fiasco music anyway.
Would you wish they did? Do you feel like sometimes you're preaching converted?
I don't know if that's my goal. I don't know if that's my I don't not goal. I don't know if that's my position. I don't know if I'm supposed to be preaching. And preaching to, I don't think I'm trying to convert. I'm trying to reinforce the people who think like I think. You know, and move how I move. And if I just so happen to convert a few, you know, along the way,
then so be it.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm not, you know, I'm not really out to go get, you know, the super gangster rap fan, you know,
to get all conscious like, on it, right?
Cool. Like, yeah, you know, we can rock. I like Snoop Dogg too.
Yeah, well, that was interesting for me. You know, I know. I was listening to that today, and I was like, this is so weird because, you know, he's got tracks like "You Gotta Control Your Ho," and you know, he's like the poster boy for like misogynistic, gang oriented hip hop music.
Right.
Whereas you challenge that lyrically quite obviously. So, you know, but you don't see a disconnect between working with someone like that?
No, there's definitely a hypocrisy to the situation. But there's also a, you know, there's the human duality, you know. We're walking contradictions, you know. So it's like I'll critique the world that Snoop Dogg paints, you know, with his Snoop Dogg brush. But I'll know the song that he used to paint that world by heart, and I would dance to it when
I can relate to that. Yeah.
And I actually like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
you know, Snoop Dogg,
I mean, as a person,
yeah,
you
as
like
a
him?
Person, I love him as a person, as a rapper, as a businessman, as an individual. Like, I love Snoop. You know, you know, me and him will freestyle for 6 minutes in an Adidas store with, you know, some DJ and a dude playing the horn, and me and Snoop just sitting in the party in the midst of 100 people freestyling.
Sure.
Lupe Fiasco and Snoop Dogg and freestyling together, you know. So I don't necessarily take myself, and like I said, I don't look, I'm not preaching, I'm not trying to convert. I just make the music that I make, speak to people that I speak to. So I don't see any any problems with me doing a song with Snoop Dogg or doing a song with Rick Ross or doing a song with Jay-Z or doing a song with whoever as quick as I would jump on a song with The Roots or Talib Kweli or
Mos Def
or what have you. For me, and I know people from both those worlds. I came up in the same neighborhoods, in the same quality of neighborhoods that Snoop came up in.
Mm-hmm.
Came up in the ghetto, drive-bys, prostitutes, drugs, shootings, the whole thing, gangs, you know. So for me, I can relate to what he's saying. But I just choose not to
follow that path,
in that story.
Yeah.
I tell the other side of it.
That'll bring me to my last question. Like, given that you came from a similar surrounding, similar environment, similar background that so many, not just hip-hop artists, but individuals, you know, human beings, come up in and they pursue, you know, drugs, and they don't have that self-knowledge to avoid perpetuating those problems.
Mm-hmm.
What gave you the out to that, you know? Like, how did you not follow in those footsteps of all that negativity that was around you, and what's led you to you know, being a real cheerleader or, you know, banner waver for a positive, conscious lifestyle?
In some parts, I did, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in some parts, when musically, when I was first coming up, I was making gangster rap music.
Sure.
I was making music about what I seen in the hood. You know, and when you're in that circle, when you're in that area, you know, and that's all you see, you, a part of that is you. That's part of my upbringing. I can't shake the ghetto off me. I can't, you know,
sure.
I can't shake the hood off me. It's still there. No matter how much people tell me I ain't hood,
mm-hmm.
you know, or people tell me I'm not from the hood, I don't have those qualities, or how much people tell me that I should, you know, focus on conscious and do something else,
mm-hmm.
I still can't get rid of those lessons that I've learned, you know. So I've been around the gangbangers with the guns, and I've been around the drug dealers, and I've been around this guy, and I've been around the killers,
mm-hmm.
and I've been around this, and I had to bond this guy to jail, and I had to do this, and I had to do that, you know. So for me, it's really experiencing that, understanding it, seeing the downfall of it, because
mm-hmm.
it's basically a feedback loop that leads to your own destruction.
Mm.
So seeing that, and then giving this platform and this responsibility, and it's like, okay, now you saw that, you went through that, now what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to perpetuate it, or are you going to combat it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your own way? You know, are you just going to, you know, for me, it's about bringing balance. I'm trying to balance out the hood. My mother and my father provided balance for me in the ghetto,
mm-hmm.
you know, by showing me, you saw the drive-bys and the drugs, now we're going to show you the National Geographics and the karate schools,
right.
and this, and you make the choice.
Sure.
You know, and so for me, the choice I made when I got this platform and had the microphone in my hand and was going to record the new song, now that you got it, I'm going to give you Words I Never Said.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to give you All Black Everything. I'm going to give you Kick Push. I'm going to give you Daydream. I'm going to give you Superstar. I'm going to give you the records that empower and uplift,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, depower and destroy.